you will listen to four addresses given in Montreal in February of 1976 by Brother John Brereton on the subject of the ground of gathering. Meeting this evening by singing 206. O Lord, we know it matters not how sweet the song may be, no heart but of the Spirit taught makes melody to Thee. Then teach Thy gathered saints, O Lord, to worship in Thy fear, and let Thy grace mold every word that meets Thy holy ear. 206. Someone would please start it for us. Suggested, brethren, that we might have a number of meetings on the subject that is often referred to as the ground of gathering. We find when we look at this wonderful subject that to begin any consideration of it, we must needs go back into the Old Testament. Because the concept of the Lord gathering a people to his name, where he might enjoy their company around himself, where worship, prayer, godly order and discipline might be exercised, is found in the Old Testament just as well as it is found in the New. In considering this subject, I had a particular exercise because, brethren, I believe when we consider a subject like the ground of gathering, how the Lord would have us to meet together collectively and where, there is always a danger of it becoming an intellectual exercise and not that which engages the heart's affections. Well, I believe in my own soul that God has very wisely and in a most lovely way guarded against this possibility by introducing the subject in the Old Testament in the midst of an account that very largely touches our hearts. I thought tonight for our first meeting that we might look at the 22nd chapter of Genesis. We'll begin reading with verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them, together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. I believe it's the book of Ecclesiastes that makes reference to the threefold cord that is not easily broken. And brethren, I believe we find in this chapter, in a most remarkable way, how God has woven a threefold cord. And I believe if we have the three aspects, the three strands of the cord before us, as we look at the subject of the ground of gathering, we will find that it is not simply a matter of knowledge. It isn't simply a matter of knowing the place, but there is a matter of faith to walk in the path that God marks out. And there is the response of the heart. That response, beloved brethren, that flows out to the one who gave his son, and to the son who offered himself without spot to God. What I would like to do tonight, for the time we have before us, is to really go through this chapter three times and to follow each one of the chords as the Lord gives us to see them. The first and most precious chord that we have brought before us in this chapter is that of the Father and the Son. We find that in the first verse, God did try or tempt Abraham. And in the second verse, he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him. Offer him there for a burnt offering. Oh, beloved brethren, how God, the Father, was revealing in this account of Abraham and Isaac that wondrous revelation of grace that was to be made known so many centuries later, when here in this world a father and a son would go to an altar of sacrifice together. And there the Father would see His Son offered up as a sacrifice for sin. And so He speaks of Thy Son, Thine only Son, Isaac, whom Thou lovest. Oh, God knew the love that Abraham had for his son, but it was just a pale reflection of the love that the Father had for His Son. That love, beloved brethren, that existed from a past eternity. You know, when the Word of God speaks of the Lord Jesus as the Son, it isn't with any thought of inferiority to the Father. It isn't that His stature is any less, His power any less. But it brings before our hearts a relationship, an affection that exists between the Father and His Son. And so when we read the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, how much more, beloved brethren, that is than if it simply had said that the Father sent Jesus. It was His Son. And here Isaac, the type of the Son, is to be offered up as a sacrifice. We find in the third verse, it says, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering. Clave the wood. I believe, beloved brethren, the thought in the wood is the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember how the ark was made of wood, but then it was covered with gold? We have that spotless humanity pictured before us in the wood, and it was the Father who clave the wood. So the Word of God says, a body hast thou prepared me. A body was prepared so that the Son could come. And that here he could die. Die for you and die for me. The sixth verse. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them together. He laid the wood upon Isaac, his son. Oh, beloved brethren, that took place in Bethlehem's manger. When the wood was laid upon God's eternal Son, and He came forth, born of a woman, a babe here who had been given the body, prepared for Him, the wood laid upon Him, in order that He might be the sacrifice for sin. He took the fire in His hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And so it is, beloved brethren, that when we look at Calvary, we see there that it was the Father and the Son who went together to Calvary. The Lord Jesus could say of His disciples that they would forsake Him and He would be left alone. But then He says in John's Gospel, but I am not alone, for the Father is with me. The Father is with me. They went both of them together. But there was the fire. The judgment, beloved brethren, that was to fall upon the sacrifice. It was to be a burnt offering. God's judgment against sin, pictured in the fire. The knife,
The son was to be offered up in sacrifice. The seventh verse. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Oh, brethren, I believe, at least for my own soul, that's particularly sweet. The Lord Jesus makes no mention of the knife. The type, Isaac. He makes no mention of the knife, just the fire and the wood. Why is that? Well, as we have said, the wood is his humanity, the body that was prepared for him in order that he might die. The fire, God's judgment that was to fall upon the Son. But the knife, the Lord Jesus in type. If I could say it this way, brethren, he takes no notice of the knife, because John's gospel tells us that he was going to lay down his life. He, as the Son, was not going to need anyone to take his life from him. He had power to lay it down, and he was to offer himself without spot to God. Well, then we find the question is asked, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And that answer that so many of us have enjoyed so many times. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. Now, brethren, I believe it's particularly lovely to notice how over and over again here reference is made to the burnt offering. That offering that speaks particularly of the fragrance of the sacrifice to God. How the sacrifice was offered wholly to God, consumed entirely upon the altar. Well, it says here that God will provide himself. I suggest, brethren, that perhaps at times we read this verse as if what it said was that God will himself provide. But I believe in my own soul that the emphasis, what the Spirit of God is bringing before us, is that God provides for himself the lamb or the burnt offering. The burnt offering is for God, and God provides the sacrifice that is for himself. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. The time had come for the son to be offered up in sacrifice. Well, beloved brethren, that time came nearly 2,000 years ago now, when God's own son, together with his father, came to Calvary. Came to that moment when the Lord Jesus himself could say, Now is the Son of Man glorified. The hour is come. The hour is come. But in the account that's given to us here, there is a substitute provided for Isaac. This is particularly lovely in connection with a different type that we will look at perhaps in a few minutes. But we do find that there is a substitute provided for Isaac, and the substitute is a ram. Now, beloved brethren, the ram in the Word of God is particularly used in connection with consecration, with a picture of particular devotedness. And so when we drop down to the 13th verse, it says, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham, and he saw a substitute." Oh, beloved brethren, what a wonderful intervention of God for Abraham. But there was no one. There was no one to take the place of God's son. He's not only pictured to us in Isaac as far as the relationship in affection between the father and the son, but God's son is pictured to us in the ram that was caught in a thicket by his horns. The ram of consecration. That one, beloved brethren, who was held to Calvary's cross by the very devotedness of his consecration to the will and purpose of God. To think that this one was caught, the ram was caught in a thicket by his horns, the very symbol of his power. And so it was that the Lord Jesus, at Calvary's cross, it was the very devotedness of his heart, the very strength of his love that held him there. But there was also a thicket. Caught in a thicket by his horns. And beloved brethren, I don't have to look any further than my own heart to find what that thicket was. My sins in all their awfulness upon the blessed Savior at Calvary. Your sins and mine, this very one, held there by the very strength of his love. But your sins and mine were upon him at Calvary, if we belong to Christ. And so we find that the ram was offered up in the stead of Isaac. And so it is, beloved brethren, Calvary's work is finished. And we look back now and we see a finished work. Our hearts go out to one who died for us at Calvary. And as we pick up the thought, the thread, all the way through the Word of God, of being gathered by the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, I trust it will ever be before us through these meetings, the Lord should tarry, that the one who speaks to our hearts is the one who was caught in a thicket by his horn, and who was offered up in your stead and in mine. You know, there's a remarkable thing in the 19th verse of our chapter. It says, "So Abraham returned unto his young men." No mention is made of Isaac returning. Now, we know from the account that Isaac was not offered up. I know, at least I believe, I should say, that Isaac returned with Abraham. But God is bringing a picture, a type before your heart and mine. And so in the type, Abraham returns alone. The son has been offered up in type in that ram that died on the altar as the sacrifice, the burnt offering for God. I'd like you to turn back now to the 21st chapter of Genesis for a moment. And the 12th verse. "And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, if you will keep the place, please, in Genesis chapter 22, and turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, brethren, the second chord that we find through this lovely chapter is the outline in type of the man of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a number of individuals mentioned. And what characterized those who are mentioned there is that they lived by faith. The faith that is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 and that is brought before us here in the case of Abraham is not so much the faith that saves, but it is the faith by which we live. The faith that trusts God, that relies on his promises and acts upon. And so we find in Genesis chapter 21 that Abraham was given a promise. The promise was, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That was a promise. Abraham was to see grandchildren and great-grandchildren through Isaac. He was going to see a nation that God had promised to him raised up. It would be through Isaac. And now we come to the 22nd chapter and the second verse, and God says to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, Abraham, go and offer up Isaac as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering. Did Abraham believe God's promise? The answer, brethren, is not found directly in Genesis chapter 22. It is found in what he did. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it is found in what he thought. In Genesis chapter 22, the man of faith shows that he believed God. He rises up early in the morning and takes Isaac, his son, and they proceed to that mountain that God showed him. And there he binds his son to put him upon the altar, the sacrifice. And then we find that faith is answered. And as we've already noticed, there is a substitute for Isaac. And the result is that Isaac is delivered. He doesn't have to die. The man of faith believed the promise and acted upon it. And beloved brethren, acting in faith, took him to the place where he saw the ram caught in a thicket by his horns. He believed God and he took his direction from God. The difficulties were overcome by faith, and he ends up by calling the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He had seen it. Oh, beloved brethren, if we are going to be in the place of the Lord's choosing, if we're going to be where the Lord would have us to be according to his word, there must be, first of all, the response of the heart that responds to that love told out at Calvary. There must then be faith to act upon God's promises. Because, beloved brethren, to be in the place of the Lord's choosing will not be easy, but it will indeed be blessed. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're told that Abraham accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead. If I could put it this way, Abraham thought in his heart, God has given me a promise. Now if God wants me to kill my own son, I'll do it, because I have a promise from God. And if necessary, God can raise him up from the dead. You and I have been given promises too, beloved brethren. We have been given promises, and faith lays hold of God's promises and acts accordingly. So we see in this chapter the lovely picture of the man of faith. Believes God, acts accordingly, and lives to say, the Lord will provide. And now, beloved brethren, I would like to use the time we have left to look at the third chord that's brought before us in this chapter. And that is the most lovely way in which Abraham is led to the one mountaintop. To the one mountain where there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. You notice it says in the first verse, God did tempt or try Abraham. That is, he was testing Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. If I could put it this way, brethren, we first of all see Abraham's response to the first test. The Lord wants to speak to him. Does Abraham want to listen? You know, beloved brethren, it may seem strange to some here, but I'm sure I'm not the only one who have met dear children of God who love the Lord Jesus earnestly, sincerely. But when you seek to bring before them the truth of the one body of Christ, of being gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to his name alone, acting on the truth of the one body, they very quickly give you to understand that they really don't want to hear. Well, the man of faith says, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Brethren, how many mountains were there in the land of Moriah? I have no idea, but I do know that God had one mountain in mind where Abraham was to go. And you know, beloved brethren, to me it's been infinitely precious in meditating upon this chapter to realize in my own soul that if Abraham had gone to any other mountain, he would not have found the ram caught in a thicket by his horns. There was one that the Lord wanted to take him to, but there was a cost involved. There was a cost. Was Abraham prepared to pay the cost? It meant offering up that which was very dear and very precious to himself. That which he loved. That which he loved. Well, brethren, this happens with God's dear children. As he seeks to lead them to that mountaintop where they can view the ram and in worship offer him up. Very often it means a sacrifice that can be very hard. Sometimes it can mean being separated from loved ones, separated from parents who don't see it the way you do. Separated from brothers and sisters, sometimes from children who don't see it the way you do. The question that was put to Abraham here in type was, there's a place, but will you pay the cost? And Abraham's answer was that he rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went. Went unto the place of which God had told him. Oh, brethren, he wanted to be there. He wanted to be there. He was willing to go. He was earnestly willing to go. And he was willing to pay the cost. And so he goes to the place, but he hasn't seen it yet. And then we find in the fourth verse, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Lifted up his eyes. Oh, beloved brethren, how precious that is. We will find it mentioned again later on in this chapter. The lifting up of the eyes, but to see the place. To see that place, it was a mountaintop. It was on a mountain. And Abraham had to get his eyes up. If he looked around, all he would see was the plain, but there was a mountain. A place where the Lord would have him to be. And it tells us that it was on the third day. I believe we will notice as we look at this subject further, perhaps another night, how often this subject of the third day, of 3 days, comes up in connection with the Lord's ordering to the place where he would have us to be. I'm sure that the thought in the third day is to bring before us the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because surely, brethren, it's only as we know that precious truth that Jesus died for us, that he rose from the dead, that Calvary's work is finished, that we are seen dead and risen with him, that we are going to be able to view the place where the Lord wants us to be. Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. The young men had no more acceptance at that place where the Lord was leading Abraham than the dumb ass did. Brethren, I believe the thought in the young men perhaps would bring before us the thought of the energy of the flesh. That youthful characteristic that gives us to feel that perhaps there's so many things we can do when we're young and strong and healthy and able to accomplish so much. Well, in going to this place, there's no place there for the flesh. It has to be left with the dumbass, the unclean animal. It has no more value, no more right to be there at the place where the Lord was leading Abraham than the dumb, unclean ass. The young men are left behind. I sometimes think with our dear young people that this is one of the things that is a snare to them from going any further. You know, dear young people, you're going to have to leave many things behind too if you're going to enjoy the precious privilege of being at the place of the Lord's choosing for you. Sometimes, matter of fact, quite often, dear young people come to the point where they feel that they really do see the place where the Lord would have them to be, but they don't want to leave the young men. They don't want to leave their youthful companions and those things that the flesh enters into. They don't want to leave those things behind, put them in the place of the unclean ass. They want to hold on to the young men, and so they don't go any further. And beloved brethren, that's a tragedy. Abraham, the man of faith, leaves the young men behind. And then we find in the 9th verse, and they came to the place which God had told him of. Oh, beloved brethren, what a privilege. Abraham had journeyed. He had been willing to pay the cost by God's grace. And he had been brought, finally, the young men left behind, the ass left behind. He had come to the place which God had told him of. Now, beloved brethren, I submit to you that this chapter has not been written simply as an outline of the history of Abraham. The Word of God says the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And here we have a most graphic lesson. The young men left behind, the ass left behind. The man of faith comes to the place.